chapter 1. Just want to spend a little time tonight talking about identity. What is our identity? Who am I? If you ask the average person, you know, who are you? What's their response going to be? How will they identify themselves? Outside of giving their name, you know, who are you? I'm Don Hauser. Outside of giving their name, how would most people identify themselves? Dave? Occupation. That'd probably be the number one. They identify themselves by what they do, their occupation, their job. You know, who am I? Well, I'm the pastor of the Independent Baptist Church. Who am I? Well, I'm an engineer. I'm a janitor. I'm a secretary. I'm a teacher. Whatever. We would tend to identify ourselves by our occupation. Not that that's wrong in and of itself. That's a very common way of identifying ourselves. There are some others. What other ways may we identify ourselves? Pardon? Okay, family, our ancestors. Pardon? Nationality. I'm German by ancestry. I'm American by citizenship. You know, we may identify ourselves in that way. Or we may identify ourselves bringing a little closer to family. I'm a father, I'm a mother, I'm a brother, I'm a sister. We may identify ourselves in family in that sense. As believers, and that's where we're heading with this, Charlene says, how about I'm a Christian? And that certainly is where we're heading with this. Others may identify themselves by their successes. Whatever success they may have done that stands out in their life, they may identify themselves by something that they succeeded in and did well. You know, some of you no doubt spent some time watching the Olympics, and some of those Olympian athletes will identify themselves by their success. You know, I got a gold medal in swimming or in running or whatever it might be. The problem with identifying ourselves with those things, my job, my successes, my some of those things, what happens when those things are gone? What happens when I lose my job? What happens when I'm no longer successful in what I'm doing? When we start identifying ourselves based upon those kinds of things, and those things that are temporary, those things that we may lose, then when we lose them, where's our identity? I think about, again, some of you maybe watched the Olympics, Michael Phelps, the most decorated Olympian athlete in history, 23 gold medals, I think it was, and four silvers or something like that, just an amazing swimmer. After the Olympics 4 years ago, in which he did not do real well because he didn't train real well, he retired. As soon as he retired, he got in all kinds of trouble. He got addicted to drugs and alcohol, ended up with DUIs, and ended up admitting himself into a rehab, got himself back on track, started training again for the Olympics, and went to the Olympics there in Rio and did extremely well. But by his own testimony, when he retired from swimming after the 2012 Olympics, that was his identity. Swimming was his identity. An Olympic athlete was his identity, and when he retired from that, he had nothing. And that's why he got involved in drugs. He was lost. He was purposeless, and got himself in real trouble. He claims now that he's going to retire again, and that now he's got it on track, and he's got other purpose in life. And I'm not suggesting he's a believer or anything else. I don't know what his faith is, but I'm simply saying when we identify ourselves with some of those things, when we lose them, we're in trouble. And as believers, Yes, I'm the pastor of the Independent Baptist Church. Yes, I'm a father. Yes, there's some other things there. But first and foremost, as believers, we need to recognize that our identity is Christ. That is our identity. And that can never change. That can never be lost, no matter what else might happen. My identity is Christ. I am a Christian. I am a Christ one. I am in Christ. That's my identity. And the verse we quote often, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's my identity. It's no longer about me. It's about Christ, and he is my identity. And so as we think about that, I just want to look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and what does that in Christ entail? What's involved in that, in that identity of being a Christ one? What's that look like? What's involved in that? I think there's several things here in these first nine verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. First thing I want to point out, as a Christ one, our identity being in Christ, we are called ones. We are called ones. There in verse 2, unto the church of God, which is in Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. We are called. Notice up in verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We are called ones. What's that mean? Well, God has called us to himself. John chapter 6 talks about God drawing us to himself. Look at, and keep your finger here, but just go a few pages to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 3 through 14, we're not going to read them all, but just fantastic verses. But beginning with verse 3, Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We are chosen before the foundations of the world. We have been called. We have been drawn by the Father because he has chosen us before the foundations of the world. My being a Christian is not by chance. My being identified in Christ is not by chance. It was on purpose. God called me. God chose me. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, it didn't take God by surprise. It may have taken some others by surprise. It didn't take God by surprise. You know, God didn't, you know, God wasn't sitting up in heaven and say, oh man, I didn't see that coming. Don, really? No, he chose me. And so it wasn't by chance, it wasn't by accident, it was on purpose. And what was the purpose? Why am I saved? What's the purpose of me being a Christ one? To glorify him. Exactly. It was on purpose. It wasn't by accident. And it was to glorify him. And how am I going to do that? Well, right here in verse 5, according to the good pleasure of his will. I'm going to glorify him by pleasing him in doing his will. That's why he saved me, that I might please him in doing his will. And then you go on down through verse 6 to the praise of the glory of his grace. And as you read down through three different times, verse 14, to the praise of his glory. I am a called one on purpose for the praise of his glory. That's my identity. I'm a called one. Back to 1 Corinthians. Notice it says we are called saints in verse 2. Your translation may say, called to be holy. The word saints is holy one. We are called holy ones. We are saints. It's the word saints here, or the word holy, hagios, it's the same word as the word translated sanctified in this verse, except the word sanctified is the verb. The word saint or holy one is the noun, but it's the same word. Hagios is the noun. Hagiazo is the verb. But we are holy ones. We are sanctified ones. We are ones who are set apart from sin unto God. We are holy ones. My identity is not found in the external. My identity is found in Christ and his holiness. I am a holy one, not because of what I do externally, but because of what Christ has done in me. He has sanctified me. He has set me apart. I am a holy one. We get focused on the external, and I'm not saying the external is not important. Don't misunderstand me. But my identity is not the external. It's not what I do. My identity is who I am in Christ, a holy one. We talked about that there a couple weeks ago with reference to the imputation of God's righteousness through faith in Christ. And as he gives me and imputes to me to put the righteousness of Christ to my account, I am justified, I am declared righteous, I am a holy one. That is my identity. Not because of what I do, not the external, because of what Christ has made me. He has made me a holy one. Obviously, if I am a holy one, it ought to show in the external. So we're not saying that's not important. It's simply that's not my identity. It's who I am in Christ. So I am a called one. I am a holy one. And I'm probably going to have to make up a word on this one, but verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. We are graced ones. We are graced ones. God has bestowed his grace upon us. We deserve nothing from him. We certainly did not deserve our salvation. We do not deserve anything from him after our salvation. We are graced ones. Everything that we have is by God's grace. Everything that we are is by God's grace. And the minute we start taking God's love and God's favor for granted, we will not grow. The minute we start thinking that we deserve better, we will not change. We will remain stagnant in our spiritual eyes. We will not grow the minute we start to take God's grace for granted, and the minute we start to think that we deserve more, we deserve better, we're going to stagnate. We're not going to grow because we are not recognizing our identity in Christ as being graced ones. deserving nothing. Deserving nothing from him. It's so easy for us to start kind of looking down on life, thinking that, I deserve better than this, thinking that, things aren't what they should be, things aren't what I want them to be, and then we start thinking that somehow God is not being fair with us. And as soon as we get into that mode and that mindset, and we're not content with where God has us, we're not content with what's going on in our lives, then we're missing our identity in Christ. As ones who are in Christ, we are graced ones. And we deserve nothing. And I've been emphasizing that a lot of late, because I think it's just so very important in our Christian lives, and that is that humbling ourselves before the grace of God. We'll never grow, we'll never change, we'll never make progress in our spiritual life until we humble ourselves before the grace of God. And that's a daily requirement. Every day I need to recognize, God, I don't deserve anything from you. God, I can't do this on my own. I can't live for you. I can't do what you want me to do. I can't be obedient to you. I cannot do it on my own. By your grace, I will be victorious. Humbling ourselves before the grace of God. And that's part of our identity in Christ. If I'm going to identify myself in Christ, I need to recognize I'm a graced one. Not only for salvation itself, but for my daily walk. I'm a graced one. Along with that, but I'm going to make it a separate category in verse 5, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterances and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are gifted ones. Paul says to the church at Corinth, you come behind in no gift. And I believe he's talking about spiritual gifts here. I'm going to expand that because of my belief with reference to spiritual gifts as such. But just any ability that you have, whether you want to call it a natural ability or talent, or whether you want to call it a spiritual gift, it's not the point. The point is, no matter what you call it, it's from God. It's a gift from him. Your natural abilities, your natural talents, they're a gift from God, a spiritual gift. It's a gift from God. He gave it to you. You can't take any credit for it. Anything you're able to do, you can take no credit for it. God gave you that ability. And again, we need to recognize that. The minute we get lifted up with pride because of what we are able to do, again, we identify ourselves with what we do, my job or my successes, and that's our identity. Well, those of us whose identity is in Christ, we recognize that what we do is simply a gift from God. It still comes back to my identity in Christ. He gave me that ability. He gave me that gift. Just go over couple of pages there in your Bible to chapter 4. Verse 7. For who makes you to differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you received it, why do you glory as if you did not receive it? That's a little confusing when you maybe first read it, but what's Paul saying? He's saying everything you have, you've received from God. It's a gift from him. So why are you boasting as if it was something that came from yourself? If it's something you received from God, then he gets the glory, not you. If it's a gift from God, he gets the glory, not you. Again, it comes back to our identity in Christ is that everything comes from God. He has given us those abilities. And again, that brings us back to that humility. I need to recognize that ability is from him. I did not deserve it. I'm a graced one. And not only did I not deserve it, but it didn't come from me. I'm a gifted one. That's my identity in Christ. In verse, the last part of verse 7, he talks about waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He will confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I put it this way? We are perfected ones. We are perfected ones. Now, sitting right here in time, I'm not perfect. God is outside of time. He doesn't see past, present, and future. It's just one big present. And guess what? He already sees me as perfected. That's my identity in Christ. He already sees me as perfected. He already sees me as blameless. Now, in time, that's going to happen in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout Scripture, the day of our Lord Jesus Christ or the day of Jesus Christ, it's referring to the rapture. So at the time of the rapture, 1 John chapter 3, when I see him, I am going to become like him. I'm going to be perfected. I'm going to be conformed to his image completely. And God already sees me that way. Romans chapter 8. Those whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Past tense. Because God already sees me as one who's glorified. He already sees me as one who's blameless. He already sees me as one who's perfected in that sense. My identity in Christ is one of being perfected. Again, in time, that's going to take place at the rapture when I see Christ. And knowing that that perfection is coming, and again, believing in eternal security, believing that nothing can separate me from the love of God, nothing, you know, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. Same thought, the day of Jesus Christ, the rapture. He is going to finish what he started. It started at the time of my salvation, or if you ever want to go back to being chosen before the foundations of the world, and it's going to be finished at the day of Jesus Christ. I am going to have that perfection. And nothing from the time he chose me to the time of the rapture when I am perfected, there is nothing that's going to stop that process. Nothing. In God's eyes, I'm already perfected. I'm already glorified. I'm already blameless. And as a Christian, as a Christ one, as one who's identified in Christ, I am a perfected one. And as I think about that perfection in time, it's yet future for me. But as I think about it, it ought to be a motivation for me now to work towards that perfection. And isn't that what 1 John chapter 3 talks about? It talks about the fact that we have this hope in us, and those who have this hope in us are to purify ourselves even as he is pure. The hope of that perfection is to purify us in the present. I am a perfected one. That's my identity in Christ. And that ought to impact how I live my life daily. So that's really the point. My identity is in Christ. I'm a called one. He chose me before the foundations of the world for his glory. And I need to be glorifying him. I am a holy one. That's my identity in Christ. And as I am a holy one, I ought to live holy. My identity in Christ is that I am a graced one. And recognizing His grace, daily I need to humble myself before that grace so that I might live pleasing to Him. I am a gifted one, and I need to be using those abilities to the glory of God and for the cause of His church. We didn't spend a lot of time talking about that, but when you continue through 1 Corinthians here, that's a major emphasis of Paul's. When it comes to the gifts that we have and the abilities that we have, it's for the body of Christ. He didn't give you that gift for you to squander on yourself. He gave you that gift for the body of Christ. And then we are indeed perfected ones. And as we look forward to that day of Jesus Christ, we ought to be purifying ourselves. Our identity is in Christ. That's who I am. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you so much for these few minutes together tonight in which we could study your word and be reminded of our identity in Christ. These thoughts are not necessarily new to many of us, and yet, Father, just we need to be reminded of it often and continually. Because it's so easy to get sidetracked. It's so easy to get our eyes off of Christ and onto ourselves and onto the circumstances around us. And Father, as we recognize our identity in Christ, we can find contentment where we are, because where we are and what we're doing and the circumstances around us do not identify us. We are Christ ones. May that be first and foremost in our hearts and minds. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. Thanks for coming tonight.